chef. Because he's the only one that can know the timing of things. Like purpose, for example. The only person that can know the timing of your purpose in life is God. So let God cook when it comes to your purpose. When it comes to your character. How many of us need a little help in that area? Like, I need my character to develop. He knows the right temperature that he needs to apply in your life to develop your character. So stay out of the kitchen and let him cook when it comes to your character. How about you when it comes to your restoration, changing you to make you more and more like him? He knows the right ingredients to put into the mix. So the best thing you can do is to stay out of the kitchen and let him cook. Now, what God does, the way that he does it, his timing, his temperature, it might not make any sense to you and I, especially when we're in this life and we are trying to make sense out of just the normal things, how to get from day to day and how to plan your days. A lot of things we don't fully understand, but when we let him cook, God has the ability to take the things that don't make sense, the things that are trying in our lives, the things that are good, the things that are bad even, those bad relationships, those bad times when we are being tried and tested. But God has the ability, this unique ability of taking all of those ingredients, because he's a chef, right? He's looking at those ingredients in your life and he's putting it all together for your good. And God reassures you and I, and he's saying, this is part of my plan, my purpose for you, my calling for you. It's not something that you and I, we can microwave. See, a lot of times we understand God in a microwave type of mentality. We want God to do certain things now, here and now. Right before service, we're talking about microwave. Like Lindsay was like, hey, this got to be a microwave one, right? Because the sun is out. But you know, I mean, today, even though I love to cook, I've got to make sure that I stay out of the kitchen and I let him take control. Hopefully, you know, God's not going to take us until 2 o'clock today. Maybe 1, okay? I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. Okay? So if I'm getting, yeah, Cindy's like, okay, Juan is a little bit pushing it, you know. By noon, we'll be done, okay? Unless the cook decides something different, okay? So this is us having to let go and let God be the only qualified cook in the kitchen. Like I said, he's got the ability, this unique ability of taking things that perhaps don't even make sense, and he brings it all together. And here's what we know from Scripture. Romans 8:28. It all ties in, okay? It all makes sense. It's all part of what God is saying. He says, we know, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. He says, and we know with great confidence. This is key. It's like part of us trusting in him, knowing that our confidence is not even in our own ability, but our confidence is in him. And we know this with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good. These are the things that don't always make sense. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But he brings it all together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. See, here's the beauty. God has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. And as we surrender to him, as we allow him to be the only qualified cook in our lives, he has this ability to bring it all together. to put the right ingredients, the right timing, the right temperature in our lives, to put the right mix so that our life would fit into His plan and His purpose for us. Sounds very easy, right? But who tends to mess things up? Oh man, we do. Seriously, this is where we come in and we try to tell God how to do His job. We try to tell Him at what time He needs to do certain things. We tell Him and we inform Him as if He doesn't know that, hey, this is not the right ingredient. This is not the right person that you brought into my life. That person is a little too challenging. Maybe it's a co-worker today that you're having a little bit of a challenge with on a day-to-day basis, but that co-worker is a key ingredient in what God wants to do, maybe concerning your own character, maybe your own plan, your own purpose. You just never know what God is up to. So the best thing to do is to allow Him that space so that He can function. Let Him cook. You got to get Him into the place where He has the freedom to challenge you. I mean, that's a concept, right? When God comes in and challenges you and challenges me in an area where He wants us to grow, so that we can fit in into this plan and purpose that He has for us. All the ingredients, all things is what the scripture says. All things means all the ingredients. So don't discard that onion. Don't discard that piece that, you know what, that's just not the right thing. I don't feel it's right. But you know, if God is saying, God has brought that up in your pantry, it's for a reason. There's a right time where God is going to bring out that onion. So you just sit and wait for God to bring that piece so that He can apply it in your life, so that the plan and the purpose that He's already designed for your life can be fulfilled, can be utilized at the right time, so that it can all be called good. Because in the beginning, it might not be called good. You might look at it and say, you know what, that's nasty. That's terrible. That doesn't even look right. But guess what? When the master chef, the one who knows the right time, the right temperature, the right ingredient, puts it all together, you have a beautiful masterpiece. But it requires us to be in sync with Him. Maybe we can call ourselves his sous chef. Where He's saying, you know what, hey, I want you to dice that up. And then you go in, you're like, okay, let me dice that up. Okay, and you bring it back to the chef. Okay, I've done it. What else do you want me to do? This is you waiting upon God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagle, is what the prophet Isaiah says to you and I. So when we wait upon the God, it's not like we're sitting there doing nothing. Waiting upon God is like a waiter. You coming in and like, sous chef, okay, well, I'm ready. I'm your sous chef and you wanted me to dice that up and here it is. What can you do with what I've got? So you put it into the master's hands and you walk away, you step back. And you wait on Him to give you the next instruction on what He wants you to do. Maybe go wash your hands. Or maybe something different, that maybe it's outside of our concept. We don't fully understand why God wants us to do things in a certain way. But when we rely on Him, when we trust Him, He has the ability to put it all together for our good. All things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. The only way you and I can do this, if we stay out of the kitchen, give Him the space and let Him cook. Today's story comes from John chapter 21. It's the last chapter in that book where you see Jesus. Jesus is already been crucified, and now he's appearing with the disciples on the beach. Maybe it's the beach down here, Mission Beach, okay? And he's down there on the beach, and he's waiting on the disciples to show up. And it says here in verse 1, chapter 21, it says, "And after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee." At first, these disciples, they did not recognize Jesus. They saw somebody out there on the beach doing something, but they did not recognize that it was Jesus. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out fishing," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll all go with you." See, these fishermen getting together. You know, it's like, oh, you go fishing? I'm coming along. You know, they're going fishing. So they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Sounds familiar? That's a story that we've read again in the Bible, right? This is probably the first time when Jesus met Peter. Peter's been out fishing all night and caught nothing. I don't know if they even were really qualified fishermen, but they were there fishing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. See, they did not recognize him. But he called out to them, and he said, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. I mean, let's pause here for a moment, okay? Because that story kind of like sounds very familiar with something that we've read before, maybe in the book of Matthew chapter 6. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." I mean, I'm not a fisherman. You know that. I'm not a fisherman, but I'm pretty sure fish doesn't know their right from their left. Would you agree? I mean, I don't know. Fish are not that kind of smart, right? They don't know right from left. Half of the time, we don't even know what's our right and what's our left, let alone the fish. They don't even know. But Peter and his friends, they did not even recognize Jesus at the time, but they recognized the pattern. They recognize this is something that we've heard before. There was this man by the name of Jesus that came along, and one day there was a miracle of fish. He told me to cast my net on this side of the boat, whether it was the left or the right, it was the other side. Something that I've never done before, Jesus challenged me to do something that was unique. Because I fished all night and I caught nothing. And this is a similar pattern. I've been there before. How many times when we've been on a path, on a journey in life where we can recognize a pattern? I've been there before. I know what God did in this situation, and this sounds like him. That's how God speaks. See, a lot of time when we overcomplicate the way that God communicates with us, God uses a pattern. A same pattern that he's talked to you maybe last week, he'll use the same pattern again. Sometimes it's through a song, through a worship song, and he gets you to a place where he's ministering to you. And as you tune into the frequency of his voice, you recognize a pattern. You recognize a way of him doing certain things, bringing a certain ingredient that you know that's his time. He's got a right time of introducing this thing in. And you're like, you know, I've worked with him for a period of time. I've recognized his pattern. So Peter and his friends, they did not recognize Jesus visibly, but they recognize his pattern of operating. Cast your net on the other side. Do something that is different, that you haven't done before. That's the way that you and I, we recognize God's plan in our life. And this is exactly what John did in verse 7. He looked at the pattern and he recognized Jesus. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's John, John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." See, he recognized that has to be God. Because I know the way that he operates, and I can recognize him there. And he says to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped the outer garment around him and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed him in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw him with a fire of burning coals there on the beach, with fish on it and some bread. I mean, wait a minute, where did Jesus get the fish? Where did the loaf come from? Maybe he stopped by Walmart on the way to the beach, but he was there with fish and bread, and he's cooking a breakfast. He's cooking breakfast for someone, maybe for himself, but I believe he was cooking for them. This was an appointed time. It was not by accident that Jesus was right there on Mission Beach waiting on these guys. He knew that they were going to come. He knew that Peter, James, and John, and the sons of Zebedee, they were going to be out there fishing that day. See, this is the part that you and I don't fully understand, because when we don't have the ability to know what God is up to. We can recognize his pattern, but we don't know the way that he's operating. We know we're not aware of his day-to-day schedule, but he's aware of our day-to-day schedule. He knew that at that point in time, Peter was going to be out there with his buddies. They're going to be out there fishing and say, "You know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to meet them, and I'm going to prepare a breakfast for them. I'm going to cook. I'm going to cook for them." So Jesus said to them in verse 10, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." I mean, he was already cooking fish, but he said, bring some of the bigger ones. Bring some halibut. You know, I'm going to do something right here, right now. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and he dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. I don't know why that number is mentioned in there, but maybe there's a reason. There was 153 fish. "But even with so many, the net was not torn." That's a miracle in itself. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." See, the moral of this story, it's not that deep, okay? When you let God cook, it's not just breakfast that you're going to get. Breakfast is not the only thing that is on the menu. Your purpose is on the menu. Your purpose is on the menu. Your character is on the menu. Your restoration is on the menu. So it's more to it than just God sitting there and cooking breakfast and feeding Peter and the disciples. There is a lot more to it. God is cooking something. And we find this in the story here that pertains a lot to Peter himself. Because this story gives us an account from what John wrote in the book of John right here. But this part of the story in chapter 21, Jesus is targeting Peter. He wants to tell Peter something that will bring him back in fellowship with Christ. There was other things that were on the menu that morning. And the number one is purpose. Purpose. You and I, we were created on purpose for a purpose. We were created on purpose for a purpose. You and I, we are not here by accident. For those of you who are visiting Church Oceans this morning, you're not here by accident. There's always a divine appointment. You do not know the exact circumstances why God lined up for you to wake up this morning and said to yourself, I'm going to church today. Just that same morning when Peter woke up that morning and says, I'm going fishing today. There was a plan, there was a purpose that perhaps the Holy Spirit that has revealed to Peter that morning, that I want you to go out on Mission Beach and you're going to go out there and you're going to go into a boat and James, John, Nathaniel, they're all going to meet you there and you're going to go out fishing. Probably that's the way it worked. We don't know. There's a whole lot of things that are going on behind the kitchen scene that you and I were not privy. We don't fully understand, but we are just obeying. Here I am this morning. I could have slept in. But I'm here this morning on purpose because my God created me on purpose for a purpose. And that is something that probably needs to resonate for all of us this morning. That Isaiah is going to go to college. He's going to go there on purpose for a purpose. He doesn't fully understand. He thinks in his mind that he's going out there and he's going to play soccer. But along when he's playing soccer, he's going to meet some people that's going to be instrumental in his life. Number one, he's going to have an encounter with God himself. He's going to watch God change and transform him so that he can be and fulfill the God's plan that he has for his life. I'm the father, I'm the dad, but I don't know that information. He can come and ask me, Dad, what does God want me to do? I'm like, son, I'm sorry, I don't know. It's for you to find out. When you go out fishing that day, that morning, Jesus is going to meet you on the beach. He's going to prepare a breakfast for you. At that point, he's going to tell you, son, what he wants you to do. I don't know. You don't know either. But you're trusting God, and here you are today trusting him that somehow this message, no matter how messed up it might be, because like, oh man, this is a very different kind of message in the church. But it might be, but hopefully it's relevant to something that you're encountering in your own life that is making sense somehow, that I'm here on a purpose. I might be here in the Coast Guard and the Coast Guard sent me here, but guess what? I have a purpose of being here for whatever the amount of time is. He's in charge of the timing. He's in charge of the purpose. He's in charge of the plan. But he wants you to submit to it, surrender to it, and as you surrender to him, it becomes clear. Then you understand. I remember the first time when I landed in the United States, it was in 1999. I had no idea. I was like, God, you messed it up. There is something wrong for a man that is from London, England, to end up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in the middle of cow pastures. I'm like, something is wrong here. But he knew exactly what he was doing. So as we submit to him, we will realize that we were created on purpose for a purpose. The scripture that we all know is from Psalm 139, starting with verse 13. It says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am, what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. God took his time on me. He took maybe a little bit extra time on me. He took a little bit of extra time on you. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place. When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days are ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. See, God knew what he was doing. God put it all together. He knitted me, formed me in my mother's womb. I was created on purpose, for a purpose. Right there on that beach, Jesus was not just cooking breakfast. He was cooking Peter's purpose. You see this account here when we read that story, which what is going on. It seems very complex. He's fishing. Jesus is meeting them and calling him there. But then you wonder, why was he going out fishing? Because the 3 years that he was walking with Jesus in his Jesus ministry, he was no longer a fisherman, like in the sense of going out fishing for fish. But he was a fisherman fishing for men. But he went back to his old ways because he lost his sense of purpose. Because Jesus was no longer there. Jesus was crucified, and now Jesus is showing up for the very first time. But he lost the sense of purpose. Why am I here? So he went back to something that he knew already, because guilt and shame was full in his life, because it's coming after the time when he denied Jesus 3 times. Can you imagine the guilt, the shame that he was carrying? So he's like, you know what? I failed at this thing because I wasn't good enough as a Christian. I must go back to my old ways. And that's exactly what Peter did. How many times do we find ourselves doing something else? Just because we've lost our sense of purpose. Because we don't know why we're here. Why am I here? See, I think God wants to remind us this morning that he created you and I on purpose, for a purpose. We're here because he wants to do something that is unique in our lives. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. God has still got a plan, and he's not quitting. He's not giving up until this plan is fulfilled. Purpose takes time. It takes time. The purpose, God is putting all these things together, right? And God, when he's putting all these ingredients together to create this sense of purpose that you and I, we long for, he uses a crock pot. He doesn't use this microwave method, but he uses a crock pot. It takes time for that purpose to come all together. Just like David. David was anointed as king at the age of what? 17? He didn't sit on that throne as a king until he was in his 30s. We're talking about 13 years of waiting. The same with Paul, the same with Moses, the same with Joseph. God was doing something, preparing the person for the purpose. And in the meantime, the time that he took to have the person wait, he's not waiting doing nothing. God was having the person wait, like you and I, like David, like Moses, like Joseph, because God was behind the scenes developing their character. Their character. And that leads me to point number 2, character. God is cooking up your character. So you got to let him cook. See, because God will never put you in a position of authority if you don't have the character to sustain it. Because that can actually destroy you. Can you imagine in the life of Joseph, for example, when he started having the dreams that, oh, you know, all of his brothers going to be bowing down to him. His dreams of him being somebody. If that dream happened at the age of 17, that would have actually destroyed him. Who knows where he would have ended up? Probably not in the palace. Not as the second in command from Pharaoh. Because his character was not developed. He needed to be in prison for a while. He needed to actually be sold as a slave and be in that place where he was down in the dungeon for a while. So that the character can be developed to sustain that calling, to sustain that purpose. But God wants us to let him cook. Let him use those trials. Let him use the different ingredients that are kind of like unconventional sometimes. But it's because he's got a plan. And his plan is different than our plan. See, our plan might look like this. A straight line. Quick and easy. Microwave. But God's plan for you and I might look like this. It might have some hills, some rocks on the way, some valleys that we must go through. But it is all part of his plans for our life. And he's putting all together. But he wants you to take the scenic route. Because the straight line is, your character won't have enough time to develop. The temperature is not going to be right. You're not going to find the right ingredients along a straight path. He's taking you down, up and down in the valley, in places that perhaps you're like, oh man, I can't believe I'm here. But you need to be here to be developed in a certain way that only God, only the chef knows. That's him working behind the scenes and putting it all together in a way that would give him glory. So you got to trust him. Trust him as the chef and let him cook. And got to let him cook. In James 1 verse 2 and 4 it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, that takes time. It takes time for that level of maturity to come to pass so that you can grow. You can grow. Faith tested. We did that series on faith. Faith tested is faith triumphant. It must be tested. It must go through a stage of your life where you are tested. When you're tested, you grow. You develop muscles when you're tested. See, that challenging co-worker in your life, that's important. That's a test. The past mistakes that you've made, that's part of the test that you've gone through. But God will use that. That's an important ingredient in his plan, in his master plan for your life. And the last point is restoration. See, God's got that on the menu as well. Your restoration. See, whenever God restores something or someone, the value becomes greater than its original one. See, when if you're going through a process of restoration in your life, your value is not going to diminish, but your value is going to increase. You're going to be worth a lot more. That's what the process of restoration does when you allow God to be the cook, to be the chef in your life. See, that day, Peter was carrying a heavy, heavy burden. That heavy burden was ridden by guilt and shame. The shame and the guilt of denying Jesus. Was he guilty? Did he do it? Absolutely, he did. But he needed to be reminded that morning at breakfast that God is in the restoration business. And what he restores, he completes. He makes that person of greater value. See, today's failure might be the seed of tomorrow's restoration. So don't look at your failure today and say, you know what, I fail. I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop. God can use that failure as a seed to restore you. So don't quit when you fail. Just keep pressing through and allow God to fully restore you. Listen to how God, to our Jesus here, restored Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lamb. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then the third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt at that time because Jesus was asking him that same question a third time. Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I believe Jesus asked him that same question, do you love me, three times to make a point. Not to make him feel guilty all over again, like, oh man, but Jesus needed to remind him that the key ingredient for restoration is love. Is love. He asked him, do you love me? Would you love me, Peter, through the trials that you will go through? Because Peter went through a whole lot of trials after even his restoration. And Peter had, Jesus had to ask him, would you still love me throughout the whole entire thing? He said, you know, Jesus, I love you. And then at the end, he said, you know all things. You know the time that I messed up. You know that I've denied you three times, but here you are. And you're demonstrating your love for me. See, God's love is unconditional. He doesn't come in to restore you by judging you first. He comes to restore you just because he loves you. See, when you have a son who's done something wrong, you want to point out the things that they've done wrong, right, as a parent? You want to teach them that, hey, son, that was wrong. If you go down this path again, this is where it's going to lead. But I love you no matter what. I've forgiven you. And this is the purpose of Jesus meeting with Peter. Your restoration is based on my unconditional love for you. Would you accept that love? That is basically what Jesus was asking him. Would you accept my unconditional love? And I believe God wants you and I to respond the same way, in the same manner. Would you respond to his unconditional love? Would you trust him and say, I love you, Lord. I will go and do whatever you call me to do, even when it doesn't make sense. Even if it means that I will wake up in the morning on a Sunday and I will come to church so I can be in your presence among other believers, I'm going to trust you. That is part of the whole entire thing, is to trust God as the master chef and let him cook. Would you please stand? I believe this is the challenge for all of us. Throughout this message, the same common theme is that God is in charge. He's the chef. He knows what he's doing. The best thing that you and I we can do is to let him cook. Let him cook. Let him be the God in your life when things don't make sense. Let him be in charge of what you do, how you handle your finances, how you handle your family life. Let him be part of every aspect of your life. Trust him. Give him space to operate Give him the freedom to challenge you in areas that you need to be challenged. And if you don't know that, ask the Holy Spirit to point it out to you. Believe me, there's areas in your life that you need to be challenged. That you need to grow. You need to give to God. And the best way you can do this is to give him room. Make room for God. Don't let him be that last option where all things are failing. Then you're going to say, you know what? I give you a little space here. Let him occupy every part of your life. The word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, everything that you're concerned, you're worried about, all these things that you're in need of, it says it will all come to pass. It will all make sense because he's cooking your purpose. He's cooking your character. He's putting it all together to restore you into the perfect vessel that he wants you to be. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for you are a good God. That your love for us is unconditional. That even our past, our mistakes that we've made, Lord God, that they are under the blood. Because you're a forgiving God. And Lord, that you can use those past mistakes. You can bring it to the mix. You can turn it around for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. And I believe there will be a part two to this message. That will be next week. God bless you and enjoy the sun.
He's in the house. Don't know why it turned off on her. I don't know why. It's still on. I don't get it. I thought the battery died and then decided to send a signal to turn off. But it's not turning off on me. I don't think it likes your wife anymore. It says, nah. Sure.